Turn your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to start reading in verse 4 of Philippians chapter 4. So let's start reading in verse 4 of Philippians chapter 4. The Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do. And the God of peace will be with you." Let's pray. Father, as we look around at the world we live in, we see a lot that can make us anxious. As we look at our own lives and our own situation, we may see things that concern us to the point where we are worried about them. Father, I pray today that you would help us through your word to have your peace, to have your joy, to hold on to the truths that you have given us, so that as we face whatever comes our way, we can do it with joy and peace in our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would just enlighten us by your Holy Spirit this morning, that you would open the eyes of our understanding, and that you would truly bring your spirit and your peace to our hearts this morning. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, you don't need to look far to see something to worry about in our world today. All you got to do is turn the news on for about 5 minutes, and you will see something that you could worry about. You may look at your own life and do an assessment real quick and say, "Oh yeah, I've got a few things I can worry about, and I'm worrying about them right now." And you're saying, "Oh yeah, there's some things that I'm anxious about." Well, I want you to understand something. God doesn't want you to live a life of anxiety and fear. He wants you to actually live a life the opposite of that. He wants you to have a life of peace and joy. That's what we see in this passage of Scripture. Now, I find it interesting that the Apostle Paul is writing these truths, and the situation that he's writing them in is quite worrisome to someone like us. Paul had lots of problems, and he had problems to address. Every church that Paul started had problems. He started these churches, but they all had problems, and I'm sure it concerned him that these problems could lead to their destruction. Not only that, Paul was facing possible death at the hand of Rome. I mean, there's something to worry about, amen? Something to worry about is getting your head cut off, hung, whatever, crucified. I mean, that's something to worry about, I'd say. Yet we see Paul in the midst of these situations, able to write these wonderful truths about joy and peace in our lives and in his life. So instead of worrying about his circumstances, Paul took the opportunity to show the Philippians the way to overcome worry. In this passage, God shows us four conditions that must be met in order to conquer worry and have a secure mind through Jesus Christ and obtain the peace of God. Now, we're starting a Wednesday night study. This coming Wednesday, we're going to be able to start. Our books are going to be in, and it's called Quieting a Noisy Soul. And I want you to understand that this is going to be something that is valuable to you in your life and that will help you. But some of the basic truths that we are going to be learning, God orchestrated this by his providence that I would preach this morning, because some of those same basic truths that we're going to be talking about throughout this study are found right here in Philippians chapter 4. So I want us to take a look at this passage and see how we can have the peace of God. Look at verse 5 again. Verse 5 says, "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." First of all, we can have the peace of God when we relate to people properly. When we relate to people properly. We are encouraged here to be gentle to everyone. The word gentle here means gracious. In other words, kind. We're gracious. We're polite. We're kind. We try to accommodate others. We think of them before ourselves. We're trying to be gracious to someone, to everyone. God wants us to be gracious to everyone we come into contact with. You know what? I hate drama in real life. I can't stand drama in my life. I don't like drama. I don't like drama in my life. You know, when I watch a movie, that's when I don't mind drama. Someone has to be the bad guy, right? And create conflict, and then you've got drama, right? That you got the drama. You got to have that in a movie. I understand that. But in real life, I don't want drama. I don't want contention with other people. I don't want that in my life. And why do I not want that? Because it robs me of my peace and joy. And it robs you too, doesn't it? When you are in contention with other people and you have this contention and this drama going on in your life, whether it be with a family member or a friend or a neighbor, it just causes strife in your life that robs you of your peace and joy. That's why we're told here in verse 5, be gracious to everyone. Be gracious to them. Treat them kindly, even if they don't treat you kindly. Treat them kindly so that you can abate the drama, so that you can abate the peace-robbing drama in your life. When we treat others unkindly, it creates contention. Contention leads to emotions of bitterness, anger, fear, guilt, especially when we are the ones being unkind. So, these are the opposite of the emotions that God wants us to feel. Now, I want you to understand something. When you feel anxious, fearful, guilty, those are not emotions that God wants you to have in your life. Those are not things that he wants you to just have as a part of your life where you're constantly having these feelings of anger, bitterness, fear, guilt. Those are not the emotions that God wants you to feel. These are the opposite of what God wants for us. He wants his peace and joy in our lives. That's what he wants, dominating our emotions. Peace and joy. So, when you have these feelings of fear, guilt, anger, bitterness, recognize what they are. They are not what God wants for you. And understand that you don't have to have those in your life if you are a Christian. If you have Jesus Christ dwelling in your life, you don't have to have those. Those aren't what God wants for you. Now, you may not be able to avoid all the drama in your life because someone may be unkind to you. But you can eliminate peace-robbing drama in your life by being gracious to everyone, even when they are unkind to you. Understand that. The peace gets robbed when you do something to someone that's not gracious and you don't correct it. Then the peace gets robbed. Or when someone does something wrong to you and you try and correct it, but if you, let me rephrase that. If you have a situation where there's contention between you and someone else and you try and correct it, even if they won't let it be corrected, you can still have peace because you did what you could and you were gracious enough to take care of the situation, okay? So understand, the peace robbing comes when we create drama in our lives and don't do anything to try and alleviate it. The way to alleviate it is to be gracious to everyone. Now, notice the phrase, the Lord is at hand. Notice that little phrase there at the end of verse 5. The Lord is at hand. What does that mean? That means that God is watching whether or not we are gracious to others. It's very important to God how we treat others. And so he makes it clear that he is watching to see whether we are fulfilling this truth in our lives. Not only is it important for our own peace and joy, but it is something that God is looking at in our lives. It's something that he is keeping an account of, how we treat others. So it's very important that we treat others with graciousness for peace in our hearts and joy in our souls. Have you ever met somebody who had real joy and peace, but they were at odds with everybody else? You know, that they were, or they were angry and bitter at somebody. They're angry and bitter at people. Do they have real joy in their heart? Do they have any peace? Of course not. No. So let's understand that. We've got to have the right kind of relationships in order to have this peace. Now look at verse 6. Verse 6 says this, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Secondly, we can have the peace of God when we have the right communion with him. When we have the right communion with him. This passage gives us three words to describe the way we should commune with God. First of all, it says prayer. So instead of being anxious and worrying about everything that comes into our lives, what should we do? We ought to bring it to God in prayer, right? Now, this word prayer means to bring our requests to God, realizing that he is big enough to solve our problems. It's really an act of faith. It's a real act of faith. Saying, God, I have this problem, but I know that you are big enough to solve this problem. And I'm bringing it to you, God. I adore you so much and think so highly of you that I know you can solve my problem. That is the kind of prayer that God wants us to have. Because not only is that the kind of prayer that he will act on, because we're not being double-minded, right? We're asking in faith, not wavering. But we are doing it in a way that peace can come upon us because we have somebody big enough to solve our problems. Anyone that's a parent has had their child come to them with a problem, maybe it's a scraped knee or something like that, and that child comes to you because he knows that you can fix his problem. He knows that you're going to be able to fix his problem. And so he runs to you, and you do. You fix his problem. Well, you know what? That's the way we should be with our Father, our Heavenly Father. We should be running to him with our problems, knowing that he can fix our problems. And when you know that, you don't have to be anxious. You don't have to worry, because God will take care of you, and he'll take care of your problems. I bring my concerns to God because I know he is big enough to help, and he'll help you. Now, the word supplication means an earnest sharing of our needs and problems. Sometimes we just need someone to talk to share our problems with. In Isaiah, Jesus is called Counselor. When we go to Jesus with supplication, he is there to counsel us. We can go to him earnestly asking. We can say, God, please, I am begging you, Lord, please, will you please help me in this situation? You know, sometimes we think that we can't get our emotions involved in our prayers. But you know what? God wants us to get our emotions involved in our prayers. Earnestly begging God, tearfully coming to him. We can do that. Maybe you have a loved one that you want to see get right with the Lord Jesus. There's nothing wrong with you going before God with tears and begging for God to speak to that person's soul. There's nothing wrong with that. We need to understand that God wants us to go to him earnestly with our supplication. And when we do, he'll be there to counsel us. Sometimes you just need someone to vent to, right? You have some difficulties in your life and you just need someone to vent to. Well, guess what? The best person in the world, in the universe, to vent to is Jesus Christ. He will listen to you. And you can go to him with all your emotions and all your feelings and just lay out your needs and problems to him, and he will hear you. And then it says thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Now, thanksgiving is appreciation to God. And appreciation to God will help us overcome any bitterness about our circumstances and will help us recognize how good God is to us. Oftentimes, when we're faced with a problem, the first thing we want to say is, why me, God? Why me? I've heard people say, I don't deserve this. Well, what is that saying when we say something like that? I don't appreciate the situation that God has put me in. I don't appreciate the situation God has put me in. So the opposite of that is what? Thanksgiving, right? So God wants us, without getting all worked up, anxious about something, without complaining about it, like it says in chapter 2, verse 14, without complaining, go to him, express your feelings to him, but do it with gratefulness in your heart. Say, Lord, I know that you brought this into my life for a reason. I understand that you are looking out for my best interest. And I know that you love me. And I'm grateful for your love. And I'm even grateful for this situation that you have put in my life. But Lord, will you please help me with this? Will you please help me and shape me as you do? And I believe that God will. He will, because he promises he will. You know, I got this quote. I don't know who the author is, but it says, if we have the single mind of Philippians 1, we can give adoration. because we won't be double-minded. If we have the submissive mind of Philippians 2, we can come with supplication. A proud person would not ask God. If we have the spiritual mind of Philippians 3, we can have appreciation because we're not wrapped up in the things of this world. That is what we need. We need to be like Daniel when he was faced with a problem. When Daniel was faced with a problem, he brought it to God. And let me tell you, Daniel had some big problems. Turn your Bibles with me to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Let's look at a problem that Daniel had in his life. Now, in Daniel chapter 6, we see the politicians in Daniel's day try and plot against Daniel because Daniel was the king's right-hand man, and they were jealous about that, and they really wanted to get rid of Daniel. So they figured out this plot, this plan, that they knew that they could get Daniel on. And here's what it was. They would go to the king and have him make this decree that anyone that worshiped anyone but the king for the next 30 days or prayed or made petitions to anyone but the king for the next 30 days would be thrown into the lion's den. So as soon as they go to the king and the king approves it, says, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Everybody pray to me for the next 30 days. Great. And if they don't, they get thrown in the lion's den. However, he didn't realize that Daniel hadn't approved this, although they made it seem like he had approved it. Okay? Well, anyways, as soon as Daniel hears of the king's decree, look what he does in verse 10. Now, Daniel's facing the lion's den. And look what he does in verse 10. It says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Notice those words there, praying and supplication, same words that we see in Philippians. So when Daniel is faced with this big problem, potentially being thrown in the lion's den, big problem for him, what does he do? He goes to God in prayer. You don't see Daniel getting all worried about it. You don't see him getting anxious. You don't see him trying to figure out a way out of this on his own. He just goes to God with it, and he prays. That's what we need to do. We need to do more of that, going to God in prayer. And, you know, I want you to see who had peace through this and who didn't have peace. Look at verse 18. So Daniel's thrown in the lion's den, right? You think he'd be a little anxious then? No. Daniel slept like a baby that night. But look what happened to the king. Now the king, in verse 18, now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. So, Daniel, he's got peace. He's not up all night worrying about it. And he's in the lion's den. But the king, he's all worried. He's all anxious. He can't even sleep. He can't eat. He can't sleep. He's all bent out of shape. He doesn't have the peace of God. But Daniel did. Daniel had the peace of God. And, of course, we know what happened after that. God took care of Daniel, just like he takes care of all of his children. And God was glorified, and Daniel was taken care of and spared. This is what God wants for us. He wants us, when we are faced with a problem, to go to him with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, knowing that he's going to take care of us, and having peace through whatever circumstances we face. That's what God wants for you. So let's do that. Let's go to God in prayer when we are faced with a problem, when we're concerned about things. You're going to have stuff that you can worry about in your life. Absolutely. There's no question about it. The choice is yours, however, whether to allow those things to rob you of your peace and joy or bring them to God and keep your peace and joy. Okay? That is the key. So when we have these problems, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Now, look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." We can have the peace of God when we focus our thoughts on the right things. We can have the peace of God when we focus our thoughts on the right things. Now, I want you to see what these right things are. It says, whatsoever things are true, honest, and just. So we want to focus on truth, right? That's what we need to be focusing on, truth. Now, Dr. Walter Cavert reported a survey on worry that indicated that only 8% of the things people worried about were legitimate. The other 92% were things that they had no control over or were actually imaginary. You know, us thinking about the worst case scenario. Do we not do that? Do we not go through our minds and think of the worst case scenario? Moms are good about that, right? Christy and I and the kids were out on the boat yesterday. And, you know, we went into the little Bissell Cove there to dig some clams. And we started hopping out of the boat. You know what Christy's doing? She's looking in the water for shark fins. And she's all nervous. It's been Shark Week on the History Channel there, too. You know what I'm saying? And she's been watching those shows, and she's like freaked out now about the sharks that might bite us, right? But you know what I'm saying? I mean, she's worried about the worst case scenario. And it may be just made up in her mind because I've never seen a shark in Bissell Cove. And there were all kinds of people, you know, digging clams too, and, you know, they weren't getting bit by sharks, so, you know, that kind of thing. I love you, darling. I'm picking on you a little bit this morning. But anyways, just a little. So we do that in our minds, though, don't we? We play out future events in our minds to the point where we're all bent out of shape about them. We're all concerned about them, right? Well, that's not the way God wants us to be. He wants us to think on reality, truth. What is real? What is true? What is honest? Okay? And that's what we need to do. The Holy Spirit controls our minds through truth. But the devil tries to control our minds through lies. Now, please understand this principle. When you dwell on truth, it's going to bring peace and joy in your life as a Christian. If you are dwelling on something other than truth, that's when the emotions of guilt, fear, anxiety come in. Because When you dwell on truth, for instance, okay, I break my ankle, okay? And I say, oh no, I may never be able to walk right again. I may be out of work a long time, not be able to provide for my family, something like that, right? All those thoughts come into your mind, right? Well, first of all, those that are imaginary, you don't know that that's the case, but you've forgotten some truths, haven't you? You've forgotten that God has promised that he'll take care of you. And although you may not be able to walk right for a while, someday you're going to have a glorified body, right? And, yeah, you know what? You may miss some work because of that. But didn't God promise that he'd take care of you? Okay. So, when you're dwelling on the truth, no problem. When you're dwelling on imaginary things that may not happen, or that could happen, but you've forgotten about the truths, and you're just dwelling on this, you're robbed of your joy. You're robbed of your peace. Really, the battle for the mind is where you're going to lose your peace and joy. The things you think on, the things you dwell on, will dictate your emotions. So that's why it's so important to dwell on truths rather than made up lies. Okay? Now, look at whatsoever is pure and lovely and of good report. Okay? You know, one thing that can rob us of our peace is filling our minds with filth. There's a lot of filth on social media and TV and things like that, right? Well, that kind of that pollutes our mind. Understand that. And when remember, we just learned that, hey, what we think on, what we think about affects our emotions. We've got to be very careful what we allow our minds to dwell on. So we've got to do that. You know, there's some things in this world that we just don't need to be dwelling on all the time and filling our minds with. It's very important that we protect ourselves from the garbage of this world. Why is it that we shouldn't watch certain TV shows or certain movies? Why is it that as parents we screen these things for our children? Because we don't want them affecting them in a negative emotional way. That's why. And so we do that. Well, we got to do that for ourselves as well. Now, virtue and praise is the next phrases. In Psalm 19, 7 through 9, the Bible refers to the Word of God as having all these characteristics that we've been talking about. When we focus on the Word of God, it will give us peace. So, one of the ways that we can keep our peace and joy from Jesus Christ is dwelling on His Word. In Psalm 119, verse 165, it says, "Great peace have they which love thy law." So if you love the Word of God and you're dwelling on it, you're going to have peace. You are going to have peace. Now, I want you to understand, this isn't something that can happen because you perform all the right things. You know, sometimes when I make up a sermon outline, I try and make bullet points. If you do this, 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 and this, this will happen, okay? I want you to understand, this is a promise from God to His children. Look back at this. It says in verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So this is a promise from God. You will have peace from God that surpasses all understanding. You will. Just trust in Him. Just bring these things before Him. Just dwell on Him. Dwell on the truths of God. You will have this promise. It is a promise from God. It doesn't depend on your works. It just depends on you trusting Him and doing what He said to gain this peace. Then look at verse 9. It says, "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the peace of God will be with you." Now, it's a promise from God that you will have peace. Just do the things that you've learned this morning. Just do them. God's providing the peace. God's doing everything you need to have the peace. All you've got to do is follow His way of keeping that peace. So we can have the peace of God when we have the right living. Do what you've been taught. So many times Christians know what to do. They know how they should think, but they don't. And that's when they get robbed of peace and joy. Let's not let that happen in our lives. Let's just do what God asks us to do. There's great peace in that. You know that? You know, oftentimes I worry myself, and this sermon speaks to me as much as anyone. And it's because I think I have fears of failure. I have fears of, you know, things not going the way I anticipated. But I always come back to the fact that I did what God wanted me to do. I'm doing what God wants me to do. And so I don't have to worry. As long as I did what God wanted me to do and I'm doing what God wants me to do, I'm all right. And God will work it out. And I don't have to be robbed of my peace and my joy. You know, when I was younger, before I got married, I worried about getting married. Lord, you got to send somebody. I need to get married. I need to get married. Now I worry about someone marrying my daughter. Just letting you know. Well, I'm worried about it. You know what I'm saying? But I don't have to worry about that because God, I can go to God and let Him work it out, okay? And pray. You know, if this guy ain't the right guy, Lord, you know, strike him down with lightning bolt or something like that. And it's no problem. Okay? Don't get nervous, Eric. Don't worry about it, Eric. Just bring it before God, okay? All right, no problem. So, you know what I'm saying. There's so many things that we could worry about. But just lay it in the hands of the Lord. That's what He wants us to do. God's going to work it out. And you can trust in Him. He's big enough to solve any problem that you have. And He promised that He'd give you peace through anything you face. Anything you face. And because of that, we can rejoice in the Lord. We can rejoice always. And again, I say, rejoice.